Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, I told you the first half was going to be good. Second half, even better, because I have strong thoughts on many news stories which are coming up post-haste. First, betonline.ag, NBA, NHL. Couldn't be more exciting than right now. Man, is it going off. Postseason is going off. Every moment is on the line, and there's something working, man. It is special. Only one place has you covered, and there's only one place I trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today at betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% welcome bonus. In the NBA, Golden State is holding on, man. The Raptors are trying to close it out. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 is tonight. St. Louis or Boston, who will hoist the Stanley Cup? Get in on all the action. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1. Or you can text right now at BETNOW to 238669 and receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sports book experts. All right, let's do the second half.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Stupid is stupid dog.
If you said Forrest Gump.
Stupid is stupid doesn't.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Christopher McDonald is here. Always great to see Christopher McDonald.
Thank you, Adam.
The movie is Deep Murder. It's in theaters and on demand this Friday, June 14th. I've had a computer problem at home, so I did not see it. I just watched the trailer out there. It's got, let's see, Chris Redd is in it from SNL. I just did stand-up with him, actually. And who else?
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. And it's kind of a send-up. It's like, I don't know, softcore porn meets, well, from a genre standpoint. Tell us, Christopher.
Softcore porn meets horror comedy.
And
it's a whodunit.
Actually. It's an interesting genre, and it looks really funny, and I intend on watching it when I get my computer up and running. Christopher, God, let's see, Happy Gilmore, Thelma and Louise, Quiz Show, Requiem for a Dream, Ballers, Boardwalk Empire. I mean, just working nonstop. What was your first role that we would have heard of?
First role, probably Chances Are.
I remember that.
I did a movie with Robert Downey. He and I played the same soul.
Right, oh, with Cybill Shepherd.
Yeah,
right.
Cybill Shepherd. Ryan O'Neill was my best friend.
Yep.
Emil Ardolino, who did Dirty Dancing, was our director, and it was in Washington, D.C., and it was fun.
What? Where do you hail from?
I hail from upstate New York in the Finger Lakes area.
And was performing always in your blood, or were you a jock in high school, or how did it come about?
Pretty much a jock in high school. I did the running away from home deal when I was about a freshman, and you know, I'll show you. I'm in the middle, you know, Irish Catholic family, middle kid. Mm-hmm. Nobody loves me, and so that didn't work out really well. Came back. I was really sorry I did it, And then I became like captain of three sports, president of the class for 3 years, that kind of thing. My father was the disciplinarian principal of the high school that I went to.
Oh, God. Okay.
So if he didn't like it, he'd turn his college ring around from Adelphi and give me a whack in the back of the head. So I decided to toe the line and do the straight and narrow, and it turned out really well.
I'm trying to think of a lower percentage job choice than actor, character actor. You know, I was able to make a living in show business as well, but I also knew early on that it wasn't going to work if I just went out and auditioned. I knew I was going to have to get an act together and be a plate spinner or something. Like,
yeah.
I needed to get paid.
Mm. Have you seen this guy spin plates? Unbelievable. Get him.
For me, it was like, it was too low percentage to get like headshots made up and go out and do auditions. And like, I could remember my roommate, Ralph Garman, one day he was just sitting at the dining room table. We rented a house in La Crescenta, and he was just sitting there the whole day. And he was like stuffing envelopes with his headshot and resume. And I'm like, what are you doing with all those envelopes? He's like, I'm trying to get an agent. And I'm like, are they even pulling it out of the envelope?
Yeah, right into the circular file.
Right, so, right.
Yeah. So I'm the like,
it seems such a low percentage thing. And I was like, well, I'll never work unless I create some work for myself through creating The Man Show or Crank Anchors. Like, I need to make a show. No one's going to let me be on their show, is the way I looked at it. So how, the idea that you've been working, how many years have you been working nonstop?
I would have to say I'm pushing 40.
Amazing.
40 years.
What do you get recognized most for on the street? What do people say to you on the street?
Depends on where I am. If I'm in New York City, classy people. Hey, loved you in Quiz Show. Mm-hmm. Redford directed it. Big, kind of a big deal.
Of course.
And like, I loved you in that. Or, Kathy Bates, the series I did called, what was it called? It was called Harry's Law, and she's amazing. That's not supposed to be.
That's her right now. That's Kathy Bates.
Kathy?
Kathy Bates was my neighbor for quite a few years.
What?
Yeah.
How are we just hearing about this? That's a good get.
Well, I don't know.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
I don't know if you guys count. She lived directly across the street.
That's your neighbor.
From me.
Yes.
And that was Kathy Bates.
She is the best. The most authentic, wonderful, fantastic, hang out with the guys girl I've ever worked with.
I thought she was a cunt. Anyway, Happy Gilmore was shot where?
You must get a lot of Shooter McGavin.
Oh, I get that every day.
That's a given.
I get that every day. We're doing this tour around for this new movie, and I go to KTLA this morning, and people take pictures, and can I get a picture with her? Sure. And they've got two guns up. So sometimes I have to tell people it's actually two fingers, so let's thick it up here a little bit.
Is it just me and the gay men that are so excited about Grease 2?
Oh, my God, yes. See, now that's one that went out. I didn't think I'd pull that one off. But there are a lot of people that love Grease 2.
Yes.
And not just the gay men. Like a lot of people. Yeah. And women. And
that was a Michelle Pfeiffer movie?
Yeah, sure as hell was.
She was
cool
so good in that movie.
She's incredible.
That we would come in to watch her sing Cool Rider because she was the most beautiful girl in the world.
Yeah, you know? What was she, 23?
23 and as gorgeous as she could possibly be.
Was there any creature better looking in person at 23
than
Michelle Pfeiffer?
No.
White gold.
And very cool, too. A very cool chick.
I love that song. It says Grease 2 was the happiest onset experience of your career.
It was because it was my first big one, as they say. It wasn't the hit that Grease 1 was, but it has legs.
Cult classic.
And we just celebrated our 25th year last year. We got all the cast together and our director, Pat Birch, and we did this showing of it, and boy, was it fun. And then we got a big Q&A at the end, and it was really fun. All these people, all these Grease 2 geeks were there, and it was quite exciting.
Are you out in Tahoe, or am I screwing that
No,
up?
You're close. Lake Arrowhead.
Oh, Arrowhead, yeah. Not Tahoe.
Yeah.
How sane does that make you? Like, if you ever do this, I will. I have been to Arrowhead or Tahoe or wherever. And at some point, you're going way up some mountain road. And at some point, you pass a public school, like a high school.
That's right.
You go to high school here. And then I always think, would that make you the sanest kid in the world, or would that make you nuts then when you had to leave that and come down to altitude, like it came down to sea level, and deal with all the douchebags you have to deal with in the San Fernando Valley?
Well, you basically nailed it, Adam. That's where I wanted to raise my kids. I didn't want to raise them in the San Fernando Valley or even New York, where I also live. But I wanted to raise them where I grew up, country, lake, hiking, trails,
rocks,
big weather,
yeah.
Right. All the seasons right there. Rocks, exactly. And it turned out great because two of the kids graduated from Rim of the World High, the one you were driving.
That's the one I drive by.
Great name.
There's a movie out there now called Rim of the World.
Right.
Yeah.
There's the one that always bumps me is that high school, growing up at North Hollywood, growing to North Hollywood High. There's another one that's right off of whatever in Pebble Beach.
Oh, yeah.
That I drive past, too, on occasion when I'm out there doing a car race or something. I'm like, who goes here? And then, of course, there's the one in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
Hogwarts.
Like a monastery or something on top of a bluff.
We've talked about it before, but there's one in St. Helena, right in the heart of wine country in Napa, that's right a block behind, not half a block behind, Route 29, like where all the wineries are. And someone tweeted me after we talked about it, like, I went there, we're all normal. Like, oh, good. It's good to know.
Well, I did a local version of what you did, which is I was living in Hollywood and I was raising my kids in Hollywood, and then I moved to La Cañada, which is not a 2-hour drive, but it's a totally different place than Hollywood. Yeah. And it's pretty boring by, adult standards, but it's good for the kids. And what you realize as well is you've got to deal with the kids and the kids' parents. And when they're all fucking nut jobs, that impacts your life in a pretty negative way. And Hollywood had a lot of that, and La Cañada's got a lot of normal, which I like.
Yeah, I like that too. Some of our best friends to this day are the parents of kids that were friends with my kids. So it's kind of a great thing to be in a normal world. You're driving from the city. You've had a tough week. You worked your ass off. You're halfway up the mountain, like you say, and then something changes.
Mm-hmm. Just washes kind of over you.
You're like, Hollywood what? You go, oh, my God, this is so great. And there's this one strip going right down into Blue Jay off the scenic highway of 18, and that is spectacular. And just to this day, and I've been up there, I don't know, 30, 40 years.
But Christopher, you're 4,000 feet in the air. You're high.
Yeah, I'm pretty much high, yeah.
Oxygen deprived.
Okay, I admit I was high.
I don't think people understand that. We all understand the view and the beachfront property and the view out in the ocean and stuff. If you do a math, like if the math is, well, these houses in Malibu off the cliff, these are thousands of dollars a square foot. You go, okay, because you're looking at the ocean, like you're having your coffee out on your porch and you're staring at the Pacific Ocean. Okay, and we can all agree how healthy that is how great that is and how good a view is and all that kind of stuff. Well, then using your math, go down to Los Angeles or go down to off of Normandy and Santa Monica and see the trash and the garbage and the homeless and the graffiti.
Oh, the homeless.
And see it everywhere and tell me if that doesn't have the same effect. But the opposite effect, if I'm with you on the ocean, brings up the endorphins. And what about the guy who shat himself over there shooting up in the shopping cart leaning against the 7-Eleven stucco? Is that not freaking you out and bumming you out? And then you think about the kids living in that. And, you talk about all that, like haves and have-nots. How about just seeing that? How about just living in that world visually, just visually in that world?
Yeah.
Gotta suck.
I recently just went down. I used to live in a little apartment down in Los Angeles City, actually, right off of Spring Street, and it was literally two blocks away from Skid Row. And they built this park. And the reason I bought this apartment was it was a parking lot, but the park is coming. So I had vision. And it turned out quite beautiful, but it was inundated with the homeless.
Yeah.
And then it kind of ruined it. But the fact is, it is such a huge problem. These are either very sick people, drug addicts, with real problems, or they've just been dropped off by the local hospital saying, well, you're done, you have no money, go to Skid Row. It's absolutely terrible. It's gone up like 36% down by the ocean. It's even worse.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, Venice, these multi-million dollar homes and people, they're building big boxes around trees that I can't put their tents in between. It's getting really disgusting.
The only good part of it is when I was younger, if we'd go to the park to play at the park, not as a kid, but like when I was like in my 20s or something, half the time the park would be monopolized by the Mexicans playing soccer. They just take over the whole fucking park and play the stupid, it's the biggest game in the world. Takes up the most real estate and use all the fucking, I'm paying all the taxes, you're playing all the soccer. Great. Well, now Mexicans who ruined my softball experience by playing soccer, how's it feel, bitch? Because now the homeless have taken over. Mm. Now the real non-taxpayers have taken over and you can't play soccer anymore because the homeless have taken over the goddamn park. So turnabout is fair play. It's the only beacon of hope. I can cling to out of this whole thing is now the Mexicans know what Whitey feels like with softball.
I'm out of crawl, Andrew Boat.
I know, and we always talk. It's insane when the mayor and or homeless experts are like, well, the number one reason is cost of living and lack of adequate cheap housing.
Such
it's like
crock.
Cost of living. Mm. Who do you know who sleeps on the ground? I mean, literally on cement. Like, who goes out and sleeps on the sidewalk because of the cost of living?
The cost of living is a problem for homeless people. It is problem number 11. You know what I mean?
Yes. Number one is 1 through 10 is substance abuse and or whatever, schizophrenia or whatever's going on in your head. I think a lot of it is just we've done a reverse engineering of homeless. Like, well, they're homeless. Okay. So if we had a home.
They wouldn't be called homeless.
Well, they'd
be
in their homes. It's insane. It's an insane problem.
It's insane, and it's in epic proportions now, and there's no real way to fix it. And the sick people have to get help, and $40 million are going to spend on housing. People are going to figure out a way to get into those places. I met a guy downtown, swear to God. He says, yeah, I'm living at the place down the street here. Wait a minute, isn't that subsidized housing for the homeless? Yeah, but I knew a guy, so I'm in the penthouse.
Right.
I didn't know that happens, and that is tragic. Wow. Come on.
It's just... Look, everything – here's the sad truth. Almost everything that's meant to help hurts. It always gets exploited. You know, whenever they do one of these studies on rent control, it's like, great, rent control brings the rent down, lets people that are poor and struggle live in the heart of the city, whatever. Always somebody exploits it, fucks it up. The landlords figure it out, do something else, stop.
Right. Some grift.
They just figure it out. And it's either grift. So there's two. Whenever you're trying to do something, like you go, rent control, okay, we'd like to lower the rent so that people who are of different backgrounds, socioeconomic, could live in the city of San Francisco, whatever it is. Okay, there's two populations we're dealing with. Okay, there's three populations. There is the people who could actually use it and would legitimately use it. There's a bigger population of people who'd like to live in San Francisco for $900 a month and who make six figures. And then there's all the people who own the buildings who really don't want this fucking going on. So between the people that own the buildings and the smart white-collar guys who want to live in the city in a whatever.
At a price, yeah.
They are, by the way, in terms of gaming the system, they're much better at it. You think the guy who owns commercial real estate doesn't know how to work around some of these regulations? They were born to do that. Maybe their dad is like Trump and owned the building before them. You know what I mean? Like, they have a heritage of working around it. The white-collar guys know people, can make phone calls, understand. And then, like, the Hispanic mother of three, who struggles with English, she's not going to figure out how to get to the front of
she's
that list.
Squeezed out.
So those two people are always, those two populaces will always win. Now, it doesn't mean that a couple of families won't get it. It just means the overwhelming majority won't, or the group that you don't want. They're always going to work it. And by the way, the commercial real estate guy's like, fuck the city. I got to figure this one out.
No question.
They're incentivized not to let them do it.
And the other thing is, I guess the zoning is such a way we want to keep it wide and open and not building mm-hmm. these big, you know, monstrosities full of rooms for these homeless people.
We in Los Angeles are probably the least. It's funny because California, Los Angeles, like the city of dreams, you know, like everyone's a dreamer. And when they've done those commercials for California, it's mm-hmm. like dude surfing, you know, but he's got his. he's got his longboard on top of a Corvette. He's in his 50s, and he's got a bracelet on, and he's doing his thing, and people, everyone's out doing their thing. So we have this pie in the fucking sky approach to everything. Like, hey, we're California, man. We dance to our own drummer. And it's like, okay, so here's what we want. We want a lot of cheap housing for homeless, but nothing over three stories. We don't want to screw up the skyline. Okay. We need a lot of buildings, and we need them fast, and we need them cheap. But we got a lot of regulation because we got to worry about the groundwater and the soil. And we can't take down that train. There's going to be the Coastal Commission needs to get involved. So we got a lot of regulation. And then it's like, oh, there's a lot of homeless people sleep. Hey, man, you can't tell. We can't have the cops tell those people what they can and can't do, whatever. Fine. What do we have? A clusterfuck. Because we don't want to go, look, it's not both. You want lots of plentiful, cheap housing? Good. You can't have a ton of regulation and that. But we're California. We care about the environment. Good. You don't get cheap housing. Texas gets cheap housing. You can't have all of these things at once. We want every child and every school and everybody. And you can't tell that guy he can't sleep there. That's his property. That's a shopping cart with his property. Okay. Good. You can't be simultaneously pie in the sky and groovy and hug it out and well, no, we're not going to threaten anyone. We're not here to impose our will on anyone. Our cops aren't for doing this and that. You can't be simultaneously Dr. Feelgood and hug it out and achieve any kind of rule of law or sensible. The reason this thing's been growing as it's been growing is because you're trying to do two things at once. You're trying to be super cool, chillax dad, but I still want these kids to study hard and go to college and get their grades up. Like, well, you can't be super chillax best friend dad. We can't be your best friend. The mayor can't be your best friend. When Garcetti talks, it's like he's instructing a fucking yoga class. Like, just talk in a firm a manner that would project something that people could listen to. We can't be your best friend and take care of problems. That's and so LA wants to be everyone's best friend. Well, and we're fucked.
And our trade-off is I'll be your best friend, but you'll also have typhus.
Right. There's other places that sort of get it, which is all right, you can have lots of cheap income, lots of cheap housing, but you can't have a lot of regulation and a lot of taxes and a lot of cheap housing.
Someone's got to give.
You got to make a choice. And their thing is like, we are both, man. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not both. Clearly, we're not both. We don't have any of the housing. Because the people you make, Garcetti may be both, and Newsom may be both, but the dudes who develop commercial real estate aren't both. They're one. They need a fucking profit, and they need it today. They're moving to Texas. Yep. So, Garcetti, go start building housing then. You figure it out.
Yeah, it's a true thing, and it's a tragic thing. It's not an easy fix. I know people who work on this downtown Los Angeles, and it is as bad as it's ever been. Every overpass, every bridge. Now, I was driving here today, tents on Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Unbelievable. Sunset Boulevard's always been like this, you know, this
sure.
kind world of show. Known.
Well-known, well-renowned, kind of yeah. beautiful place, you know, great shopping. Tents. It's an epidemic is what it is, and it's not. There's no easy answer. But
well, soon as some actor with some notability like you has to get typhus, and then it has to just make you could just sacrifice yourself
yeah, if
you just went downtown and just yeah. rolled around in some filth,
yeah.
and then you got typhus, then that would capture the hearts and imaginations of America, and then it would stop. You know what I mean?
Are you willing to do what you have?
We know what you have to do.
I'll do it.
Here's what I'm saying. Plenty of inner city kids shot in Chicago all the time. But if Denzel Washington got shot, that would capture headlines. And yeah. that would start a movement.
Yeah.
You are the white, typhus-ridden Denzel Washington. Do you see what I'm saying?
You're onto something there, Adam.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm asking you to take one for the team.
For everybody's team, yeah. Okay.
All right. The movie Deep Murder. Sorry, we're going to do the news in a
awful
second.
Glad you came today.
It's in theaters. That's June 14th. That's coming up this Friday. And it's got some cool names in it as well. So is there a website? You guys just look for it. I think just type in Deep Murder. and you can find out where it is. All right, we'll do the news first. Oh, let's see. What do we got? Do I got Tommy John? Yeah. All right, that's what I'll hit. Tommy John. Summer heating up, man. Cooking in those clothes. Tommy John. They have the solution, cool cotton underwear for men and for women. I'm actually wearing one of their T-shirts and their underpants right now. Breathable, lightweight fibers, keeping you 2 to 3 times drier.
How many times?
2 to 3 times,
fool.
2 to 3 times cooler, and then they dry 4 to 5 times faster than the regular cotton. Men's underwear features the contour pouch, keeps you neat and nestled in there. Quick draw fly for rapid deployment. Men and women's underwear have a no wedgie guarantee. The legs never ride up. Waistbands never roll down. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam now to save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. Should we do, I know Chris is a hard out about 20.
That's a well done,
so.
By the way. Well done.
Yeah. Should we jump into a little news here, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some Democratic lawmakers in New York State want to make it legal to pay for sex. On Monday, they introduced a bill to decriminalize sex work. It's similar to bills introduced in Maine and Massachusetts. The legislation seeks to go beyond merely vacating prior convictions for people engaged in selling sex, but to really decriminalize it. However, supporters point out the bill would not change existing laws protecting minors from exploitation, outlawing sex trafficking. Supporters of the bill also point out that prosecuting such crimes just add more burden to the already jammed criminal system. And if there's two consenting adults, stop criminalizing.
Yeah, I've always sort of said, who cares? I mean, again, like, this is a decision. And also, as a guy who's done shit work for a living for many years, I don't know, $7 an hour to get up on a roof on a day like today when it's 107 degrees and just stuck, you're just scraping asphalt shingles off a roof. Or I blow an Asian businessman. Are you kidding me? And he buys me a Fresca and tells me I look good in my jeans. I'm down with that.
Leaves an extra 50 on the nightstand, tells you to clean yourself up, see yourself out. Yeah.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah.
For sure.
And and crime goes down. Think of this.
Sure.
Amsterdam. They've been doing it legally and cleanly for, I don't know, as long as I'm alive. It's fantastic. I've been there. And you get to pick either a cheerleader or, your mother figure. I don't know.
The dominatrix.
Anyway, the dominatrix. They're all there in their window looking fabulous. I just window shop personally. But it's pretty fantastic how they worked that out. And the crime level's gone. And of course, they smoke pot's legal there. But it's
got a good thing going.
Yeah, they do.
Utopia.
Yeah, I'm sort of I just tax it and regulate it and do whatever. I don't know. When we do these little experiments like the Bunny Ranch, and they have doctors and everyone's taken care of and there's rules and blah, blah, blah. And it seems to work out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, sort of swinging to the other side of things, Republican Alabama Governor Kay Ivey on Monday signed a bill into law that requires someone convicted of a sex offense against a child under 13 to be chemically castrated. The law requires individuals convicted of such an offense to continue treatments until a court deems them no longer necessary. Because basically, this is what it entails. It's either a tablet or an injection, and you take it completely. Takes away your sexual interest. It makes it impossible for a person to perform sexual acts.
It's gotta be weird if there's someone else around you when you're, oh, I gotta take my, what do you got, hay fever?
Some sort of an allergy.
Acid reflux, I hate that right there.
Can I have one? Can I borrow one?
I cannot have pizza. Oh, you know what? My wife and I have a date night tonight. We're having pizza. So can I have one of those? Because I cannot.
Oh, I'm running really low, but I'd love to give you one.
What? How many pill? How long does it take to chemically castrate one?
I don't know. I don't know how quick.
And there's an injection?
There is an injection.
Let's ask your wife.
but once you stop taking it, the effects are reversed. So you are required to take it for a certain amount of time, whatever the judge says.
Yeah. why don't we give you the Norplant? You know what I mean? Just put the little thing under your skin and let the time lapse thing.
Yeah.
Like if each Norplant chemical that castrates you lasts 6 months and you get 2 years and you get four of them drip. Like you get bars under, they literally put them under your skin, and that's that
might be headed that way,
I guess. Is that how, I mean, is all the data in, I'm all for this, but is all the data in on I like molesting 9-year-olds? Get that on tape, Ryan. Because I have a boner, and if you like remove the boner, then I'll stop. It's sort of like
We've talked about that.
It's kind of like saying, well, the reason people murder each other is because they take insurance policies out on them, and then the husband poisons their wife and then hammers the insurance check. And it's like, that's true, but there's also serial killers that don't know the people. So I'm not sure that it'll get rid of murder, because there's another element who likes to kill people just because.
Well, this is implying that without sexual desire, there won't be a reason to commit this act. That's what it's implying. I don't know.
Mm, couldn't hurt. And maybe, all right, we just had Mark Sertella in here. He's 42. Mm-hmm. Can I imagine him at 18 and a half?
Oh, my God.
It'd be like a 9-year-old, right? Put him into the sex worker department. Let these guys blow off a little steam.
Oh, okay. New career path for Mark.
Well, you know, they do that thing all the time with the actors. Where it's like, well, we need an 18-year-old that's playing a 14-year-old, but they got to be 18-year-olds. Right. So we don't want the teacher on. They get that with sex.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a legal, healthy, perfectly normal, perfectly healthy outlet.
Here's the thing.
For the pedophile.
On the way over here also, speaking about sex being everywhere, Hollywood Boulevard. Stuck in stupid traffic. I look over, and there's a guy, woman actually, big table, you know, 6 feet long, 4 or 5 things deep, selling Pez dispensers as penises. They're basically boners. Mm. And I didn't see anyone use it, but I thought, this on the street of Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
You know, penises. Like 50 of them. I don't know. It's absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like
it's the world we're living in.
We can rule out straight guys from that purchase. I'm guessing. We can probably rule out most women.
Yeah.
It's a rarefied air. It's like a select SEAL team of guys who are like, I'm gay, but I'd like to be gayer. And I'm driving a Miata with the gay flag bumper on the license plate frame on it, but I want it to be known. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Do like, streamers.
You know, that's probably why they were there. Now that I think about it, was Gay Pride Week.
Remember when I told Bill, mm-hmm. I said it's Gay Pride, it's coming out week, and I want you to call your dad and tell him you're gay, and he said my dad already knows I'm gay, and I said, call him and tell him you're gayer. And he did.
Dad, I just got gayer.
Well, what was I supposed to do? He'd already come out to his dad. My hands were tied. He was there. He was gay. He'd already come out. He'd ruined my plans by being honest with his dad earlier in life.
So now what?
My feet were held to the fire.
Yeah.
Funny.
Sorry.
Oh, here's another favorite thing, and you'll love this. All right, so I go to Cabo. I love Cabo. It's a great town. It's right after spring break, and there are these Indians on the beach right in front of your fabulous, expensive hotel. And she's selling a T-shirt that says, I eat ass.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure she doesn't even know what she's saying, but I eat ass. I went, oh, my God.
My favorite part about the Tijuana, when I used to go to Tijuana when I was like 16 and 17, is we'd always come home with I had this great T-shirt. It was a bunch of banditos holding cats up upside down by their tails, and it said Tijuana Pussy Posse on it across the front of it. Wear those all the time.
Yeah.
I eat ass.
Dawson was selling those?
Yeah, they have some great, great T-shirts out.
I do eat ass.
We heard you, Dawson.
God.
We heard
you.
Can we find that Oh, our internet's down, yeah.
Speaking of which, we talked a second about, you're talking about teenagers acting and blah, 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 and our internet's down, so I can't verify this, but I'm almost positive you, Christopher, were in The Faculty, yes?
I was, yes.
I love that movie. Underrated movie.
Oh, horror genre.
Robert Rodriguez, great director.
Rodriguez, yep. Very underrated movie. Yep. Notable because I think it has the best cast of any movie ever put together. And I say that because we couldn't look at it right now because the internet's down, but there are 40 to 50 recognizable names, half of which were kids who were not famous at that point. Usher's in there, Elijah Wood,
Jordana Brewster, Sean Hattissey.
That's right.
Robert Patrick.
Everywhere you look in that movie, there's just famous faces.
Wow.
Everybody Jamal wanted Hayek, to work John with Robert Rodriguez because
he's
the best.
He's pretty hot at that point.
No, he's unbelievable. But he shoots right in his hometown. He made his whole house into like here's my editing room. Here's my garages. Get the cars up. Editing room. Mm. And keeps his kids, his five boys named Rocket, Razor, or all our names. And he says, my kid Rocket's going to be this big fat. Sure. He's going to grow up to be huge. But he's a great guy, great director. He's in Austin, yeah.
Oh, man. So great that's guy. The way to Little do life. It.
Bright, bright guy, too.
All right. What else, Jennifer?
Well, I have a kindred spirit for you, Adam. His name is Trent Innes. The Metro reports that a boss of an accounting software firm has revealed the simple test he uses every time he does a job interview for a new member of the staff. And he won't hire anyone who fails the test. And he believes it shows more about the attitude of the person than any question he could ever ask.
Let me guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what business? He said accounting?
He's in accounting software.
Does this guy like leave $20 on the floor or something and let somebody do it?
Much more closer to home.
Is it my water displacement test for your penis?
No, but that would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, close.
But it's like a character test.
It is. And anyone who fails it is blacklisted from the company, not to give you any ideas. So Trent, he works at Xero Australia, and he shared his test on this business podcast called The Venture. He says that before the interview, he takes the candidate to the kitchen, which is always very clean, to get a cup of coffee. They take it back to the interview. They do the whole interview. Everything's just normal. Trent conducts the interview, and then the test kicks in.
Oh.
He waits to see if the candidate takes their cup back to the kitchen to clean it. And he claims that this trick works every time. The kitchen's always clean. And he says it's really just making sure they're actually going to fit into the culture here at Xero and really take on everything that they should be doing.
Well, people are either conscientious or they're not. It's not really like, I do this, but I don't do that. It's a kind of a setting. It's like being polite or being gregarious or being nice or being evil or being rude or being, you know, self-centered. Like there's a kind of a
setting.
And the people that are conscientious, and we all know examples of both, and sometimes people in the middle, but the people that are very conscientious are just that. There is no, things don't live in a vacuum. It's not like, well, yeah, I left a coffee mug half full on your desk, but I'll always be early and I'll never call in sick if I'm not sick and I'll never lie to you. Like, no, it all, it's like I said, if you see, let's just take litter. If you see somebody walking down the street and they open a cigarette pack or they open a candy bar pack and they just let it fly versus Paulette Gergos, who I told you, I saw the other day, was walking in my neighborhood just picking up random garbage and holding it in her hand.
Dripping garbage.
Okay, that's all you know about those two human beings. One person rips open a payday and lets the thing fly, and the other person picks it up. Now, most of us kind of live in between those two people. We wouldn't drop it, but we might not pick it up. But the person that dropped it and the person that picks it up, I look at, is very different. And if I'm looking to hire somebody and that's all I know enough. I know enough if that person stops and picks. Now, if you're a person who walked past it, I don't know that much about you. But the person that drops it and the person that picks it up, it says something that I can see from outer space about them and their personality. And that's about all you need. And I was thinking about this as it pertained to criminality. I was thinking, like, you know, we do all that stuff where it's like, the guy sells a little weed and he stole a couple sacks of Doritos and whatever, but these are all pretty small, whatever. It's like, yeah, but I know people that would either engage in that or would never engage in any form of it. You would just never, it doesn't matter what the value is of the thing that you're stealing. We do this weird thing where it's like, well, that guy steals stuff, but the stuff he steals is under $25, so he's just a and it's like, no, no, you either steal or you don't steal, and if you can steal, you'll steal whatever. Like, and we should judge accordingly. Thank you.
I would assume most of us in that situation as a candidate would at the end be like, oh, is there somewhere you'd like me to put this or something to do with it? I mean, I don't know that I would get up and go, excuse me, you know, I got to go find your kitchen and a sponge real quick. But you'd at least acknowledge it. Can I take this somewhere? This is, where do I put this?
Right. Unfortunately, now that he's divulged this, anyone who shows up after that is going to bring their own microfiber cloth with them. What do you mean, boss? I always do this. I always do the whole rack of dishes forever, wherever I go.
Got my ShamWow.
Ask anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good, it's a good test. Yeah. It's an interesting test.
Well, a 30-year-old Spirit Airlines passenger on a flight from Detroit to New Orleans recently got himself banned from the airline forever because he was vaping in the bathroom, according to CNN. Man. An attendant on the flight.
By the way, banned from Spirit Airlines. It's like, no more liverwurst and anchovy sandwiches for you.
No more kicking the nuts.
Yeah. I don't get to pay extra for bringing my own purse.
The next time you're in the mood for the butt end of the whole wheat bread with liverwurst, then you're just going to have to suck it up, bucko.
No more stubbed toes for you.
That's right. That's why I always say their motto should be fly Spirit so we can break yours.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Thank you. I've been saying that one for a
while.
That's
good.
I didn't even, I know their name comes up every once in a while, and then every once in a while.
Big yellow planes, that's all I know.
Right.
Big yellow
planes. Well, here's how it went down. An attendant on the flight apparently told a deputy that she saw the guy take a drag from an e-cigarette and then exhale it into a bag. He was just doing this in his seat.
I just love, like, the biggest criminals in our society are smokers and vapers now, that we have decided that these are the Dillingers of our society. Like, we should put these guys' pictures up in fucking post offices. Like, this guy was seen vaping on a patio.
Get him on the wall. What are you doing?
Get him on the wall. We declared some sort of war on smoking, and we've decided, I've said it, they're worse than deadbeat dads in the eyes of our fucked up, retarded society. Like, these are the worst people in the world. These people have an addiction to nicotine with water vapor.
I blame the companies who they're selling the candy tastes like grape juice, kids. And these kids are addicted to nicotine, and they're 12.
Early and often.
Can you vape in a bathroom? All right. So
would you like the answer?
I've looked through this window a few times, and I've seen a couple of folks vaping on occasion, and I don't care. But Maxipati, you can tell me. I've not been in the proximity of a lot of vaping. It would stand to reason that if you had a vape pen that wasn't a flavored vape pen, and you went into the bathroom of a commercial airliner, you should be able to lock yourself in that bathroom. Look, some guys lock themselves and do a little offloading. They're in there for 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Seems like you could have a couple of draws off the vape pen, wait it out a few seconds, and then exit.
Nope.
But the alarm would pick it up, or somebody would detect it.
This,
you guys, Dawson, you've ever vaped
in a commercial? I've vaped in an airplane bathroom. It does go away. But when I did make that mistake, I walked out too quick.
Mm.
And when I walked out, some of the vapor went out. And I just got a look.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you stay in there, it should completely dissipate.
Flush the toilet.
Flush the toilet.
A lot of toilet flushing. Yeah. All right.
Well, this plane's smoke alarm did go off.
Oh, it did?
It did.
Okay.
So when a deputy met the plane in New Orleans, the unidentified passenger denied smoking and then said he didn't know it was prohibited.
But he was vaping,
He was vaping, yeah.
Okay. So the passenger banned for life? Like, shouldn't you have to fight with a stewardess to get a ban? Like,
get zip tied?
It's water vapor, it's water, nicotine.
It's vape. Yeah, it's called
in a bathroom. It's like, who cares? We are nuts. We have some sort of weird thing for smoking. You've heard me yell about this my entire career. Like, I have a weird space for smokers that we don't like. We have it, like, you know, tax evasion or being a deadbeat dad or being whatever. Like, we're mildly perturbed by it, but we're not nearly as bothered as guys who vape.
We're
really
outraged.
It just doesn't affect us. I don't get. You know what it is. Mm. Our capacity to be outraged over things that really don't fucking affect us and we have no business talking about has gone through the roof in like the last 15 minutes, right? So the answer to vaping or smoking or whatever in the past was just like, the guy wants to smoke on his patio in his apartment, that's his fucking business. Or he wants to vape, that's his fucking... It used to be, the answer was, he wants to go do this, that's their business.
Right.
We'd have that answer. Now, it's like, I'm making it my business. What if, worst case scenario is, you walk into the bathroom right after somebody was vaping in the bathroom. That's about as bad as it's going to get. What is that, a 9 or a 10? Like, where is that? Let's say the plane hitting a mountain is a 10.
Yeah.
Where does you walking into the head and getting a little secondhand vape, where does that land on your shit?
I don't know what the risk is. I don't know what the actual problem would be.
You do understand we live in a world where leaf blowers are running wild all the time. Where you just walk down the street and there's somebody blowing fucking leaves with a two-stroke outboard motor strapped to his ass, blowing up a huge plume of rat shit, and you're walking through it with your dog. So where is that? Where is that versus vaping? What would you rather happen to your kid?
Of course.
Would you rather your kid get the secondhand water vapor or have the leaf blower full of fucking airborne particulates? So where are we at? And if the answer is, well, I'd rather have him the vape, then why are we fucking nuts on vaping and we don't have thoughts? We don't have thoughts about the fucking leaf blower. Am I nuts? Why am I supposed to listen to anybody? You have no thoughts about this. This is a person whose life is a fucking wreck, and they're giving you designing tips on your entry hall. And you're like, why am I listening? I'm not listening to you. Why? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because we are fucking cowards, and what we're looking for is safety and then judgment. We don't want to make judgments on leaf blowers because those are brown people and we don't want to be called. So what you could do is you could go online and you could go, hey, what's going on with these fucking leaf blowers? This is bullshit. And you'd think it was innocuous because you'd think you were talking about leaf blowers, but someone would connect that to poor Mexicans and then you'd be taken out to the public square and flogged. So people go, look, I can't connect this to that. I'll get fucked. The thing about smokers is we could say that with impunity. Mm. Everyone can just be a hero and go, smoking is bad, it's never good, whatever. We can't connect it to a race or sexuality or something that could get you flogged. It was so funny. I was talking to Drew about this the other day. I was listening. I don't know if you got it, Max, but the internet's down or whatever, but Bernie Sanders was doing this thing where he was going, these professional athletes, they're getting paid more, 1,000 times more than school teachers. And he said, is it right that a professional baseball player get paid more? And I thought, oh, he had to pick a white sport. He couldn't say the NBA. Now, the NBA and the NFL are predominantly black and bigger than baseball, but he picked baseball to say, is it right that these guys get paid? Because if he would have said the NBA, then it would have got back to him that it was one remove from racism. So he has to make a point that athletes shouldn't get paid 1,000 times more than school teachers. But as an athletic example, he picks the least athletic sport, which is baseball. Right. And it was calculated because he just say football or basketball, whatever we're watching. But he can't pick an all black sport because then he is going to get fucked up in the town square. So it's calculated and that's how it works. It's not a good time. And people should either be for leaf blowers or against leaf blowers, or for vaping, or against vaping, regardless of who is operating the vape stick or the leaf blower. That's me, but I'm a hero.
I'm with you, but you're driving down the road, and the guy ahead of you, he's got his window down, and his car is filled with vape smoke. It comes out, doesn't even have to hit you, but you have to worry about, can he see? Can this guy actually see ahead of him? Because your lungs, and you blow it out, and it's kind of It's 50 times the smoke of a cigarette.
You know what they got to do? They got to get the grape to be purple.
Oh,
yes. So you're like Puff the Magic Dragon or something. When you blow out, it's like the gay flag comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Vape pens like a dick. I'm with you on the Pez thing.
Yeah, so and then far, so good.
And then the gay flag comes out of your mouth. Like yeah. You know, Prince, you'd get Prince's family to sign off on the purple vape. And
purple paisley vaping.
Paisley vape. That I would be down with. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm gay, but I'd like to be gayer.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Dad, I'm gayer.
Geico. Geico.com. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save a bunch of money on your auto insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'd be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. That is Geico.com. See just how much you could be saving in just a few minutes. Oh, boy. I look down at my screen. Sweet, the band.
Like sweet, sweet?
Sweet,
like Little
the
Willie's
band
sweet?
Is coming on. And I was literally just sitting around the other day going, Fox on the Run and Little Willie.
Yep.
The Ballroom Blitz. That band doesn't get its due. It's a fucking kick-ass band.
They're getting their due tomorrow.
And I know nothing about them other than I love those songs growing up, and they totally hold up now.
I can't believe this
is
happening.
So Sweet, the band is going to be on tomorrow. Christopher McDonald, Deep Murder is the name of his movie in theaters this Friday and on demand as well. So go find it, please. Also, Mark Saratella, you can find him doing stand-up all over the place, and you can get it at markscomedy.com. And Good Sports is coming up next, and you can check out me doing live stand-up in Denver coming up this Friday and Saturday as well, and my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material. Enjoy that. And until next time, Santa Carolla for Christopher McDonald, Mark Saratella, Gina Grad, and Mel Ryan saying mahalo.
I eat ass.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've done a lot of important work this week already. Ranking donuts, pizza. We worked in a little soccer. We talked about... what else? Well, we thought Akbar Baja Biamila, now our mutual pal. Mm-hmm. You've skimmed the surface of a fascinating man named Akbar. Hopefully he'll be back. Go buy his book. Anyway, Ace, I brought up something last week that we can get back into here very quickly. You love your football. You love your football Sundays, watching it with the fellas, great group of guys, and obviously the best sport known to man. Hard not to see what's so great about it, but how much do you love it? Here's another one for you. NFL football, or if you can only watch football on Sundays from now until the end of time, by starting each football watching day by listening to a full Bob Marley album. You must listen to Legend in its entirety before your eyes can drink in any football and your mouth can drink in any beer.
You ever see a picture of Bob Marley's dad?
No.
Oh, man. When Gary pulls up a picture of Bob Marley's dad, Bob Marley's dad looked like Colonel Mustard.
Really?
He was he's as white as a white guy gets.
Wow. I had no idea.
He was like in the military. I mean, he was... A white dude, like you'd think, oh, what does Bob Marley's dad do? He owns a head shop and makes jambalaya or something. Look at Bob Marley's dad. Describe. He looks like Conan O'Brien.
I was going to say he looks like the elder George Bush.
He looks like somewhere between George Bush and Conan O'Brien, right?
Riding a steed in a cowboy hat. What? That's him?
His name's Norval.
Norval. Marley?
Correct.
That's Bob Marley's dad. Who needed... I'll tell you, and let me ask you a hypothetical. Who got more distance from their biological dad career-wise? Jim Morrison of the Doors, whose dad was a decorated rear admiral in the Navy. A rear admiral. And he was like, my dad's dead. He died chasing an Indian. And then he walked on down the hall. Mother! How white is Bob? Who needed to get more distance from a career standpoint than their square dad?
I think we need to really focus on this a little bit.
Bob Marley's
dad, I don't want to give any half-assed answers.
He looks like a ginger. He looks like a straight Danny Kaye.
That's a great call. I was going to say Hardy. From Laurel and Hart, whichever one.
To me, I see Woody Allen, but Woody Allen in his 70s, and this guy's in his 30s.
Conan O'Brien, crazy. Woody Allen, it's crazy, right?
I had no idea that was the case. Huh.
Mm.
I'm going to have to work on this, though. I have to figure out who has the greatest distance from their old man.
Yeah, because...
How about you?
I may have to be
on the Mount Rushmore, I
would
think.
I don't have to. It's not like... I wouldn't have my comedy credentials if people... Well, they knew how unfunny my mom was. It probably hurt my case. But I'm saying Jim Morrison, he's taking psychedelics. He's singing about the man. He's doing... His dad is a decorated... He's an admiral in the Navy. That's the definition of the man. Bob Marley's smoking spleef and talking about the Rastaway, and his dad is Conan O'Brien on a horse.
Wow, that is so weird. Huh. And I don't know Bob Marley's backstory.
First off, say this, and anyone who wants to talk of biology, you know, as the great Wesley Snipes once said, always bet on black, because... You take the whitest guy on the planet, he then has a child with a black woman, and the child becomes 110% black. It's not 50-50. And Bob Marley's lightish skin, but he's blacker than anybody you know.
It's an interesting point, yeah.
Yes, they win. Genetically, they win.
So what's your answer? You have to listen to Bob Marley, and then if you want to watch football ever again.
I think if I stared at pictures of his dad, ironically, while listening... to it, it would bring me some joy, and I would listen to Bob Marley and watch football.
I see. Well, see, that's it. Look at you finding the silver lining there. Ace, what do you think about a grim matter? We saw it last week in the NBA Finals. A minority owner of the Golden State Warriors is sitting in the front row, and Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors falls into the seats where he is, and this owner kind of shoves Kyle Lowry, who's at work. He's at his job doing what he's doing, and the guy reaches out and pushes him and is offended. Like, how dare you fall into my love's lap? Like, I'm getting the ball, man. What do you want me to do? And now this guy's banned for a year and fined $500,000 and everything else. What do you make of this? It feels like it's in the last 20 years or so. I don't remember how long ago Monica Seles was. That's the grimmest.
Stabbed in the back by a fan.
Literally. But has anybody ever touched you while you're doing stuff, while you're at work like that? Isn't it a crazy thing?
Steve-O tried to choke me when I was hosting a late night show.
That's right.
That is TV gold. And the Sellers thing, by the way, was 93.
I do feel like I'm a rare exception to being physically assaulted whilst doing my job. you know, when I work construction, I had a shotgun pulled on me.
You did?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't pulled on me when I I don't know why, but it reminds me, like, so we did earthquake rehab. It was a big building. It was low-income housing for a lot of marginalized people, although what they don't tell you about marginalized communities is oftentimes they marginalize themselves because they're fucking nuts and alcoholics. Like, it's not like we marginalize them. You marginalized you because you like porn and you like booze and you don't like work. So you're in a marginalized, like Oprah's in a marginalized community. She just hasn't marginalized herself, if you really break it down. This was a whole group of marginalized people, elderly, black, Hispanic, white, everything else, but they couldn't work. And so we had to subsidize their housing. And they lived in these single bachelor units in, you know, downtown. We'd have to come in an earthquake rehab. We'd have to come into their units, start tearing apart the walls and shear walling everything. It was a mess. And they were home all the time. They never left. But anyway, at a certain point, there was a guy named Shaky Jake. And he was basically like Stax. He was think of Stax from Goodfellas, like where they had to, you know, like what happened to Stax? He should have hid the truck, but instead he got high and went to his girlfriend's house and the feds found the truck and we had to go put a bullet in him in his crappy apartment. It's like in his underwear, black socks on, you know, like dress socks. And there's a look you've never.
I know. I can picture the look.
You've never looked spindlier than old time boxer underwear and black dress socks.
Yes.
That makes you look the thinnest.
Makes me think of my old man getting ready for work. Right.
If Brock Lesnar put on a pair of old-time boxer shorts and black socks, you'd be like, I could kick that guy's ass. I'm pretty sure I could do it.
That's so true, yes.
So there's no weaker look for a guy. Anyway, Shaky Jake was up in his unit, and I was down working in like someone else's unit, but I was known as sort of, you know, the Menachem Begum. Or the Boutros Ghali of the group. And they knew to come to me when there was problems and I could solve it with words, you know. And so, and Shaky Jake liked me. So Shaky was like, they went and got me. It's Adam, Shaky Jake's pulled a shotgun and you got to go talk him down. And so I went up to Shaky's unit and sure enough, he had a double barrel shotgun with both hammers pulled back. And he was done. He was like, no more. You can't come in my unit anymore. You guys come in every morning at 8 o'clock. You tear apart my unit, then you leave. You know, like get we're done. So I was called in to broker an agreement, and like Shaky liked me, and I like came in. we sat on the foot of his bed together in our underpants, and he had his gun, had his shotgun out.
You're like the cop who takes off his gun belt and like, I'm gonna see. I'm still. It's just you and me, but you just took your pants off.
So we're just sitting there, and all I remember is he sort of agreed to put the shotgun down, but he did say, and I remember this very clearly, that he was unclear as if he could get the hammers back down without the gun going off. He had both hammers pulled back on a double-barreled shotgun, and it has two triggers. And you have to do this move where you like put your thumb on the hammer and then hit the trigger and like try to release it, but lower it back before it hits the primer too hard and goes off. So I remember standing there, I had my fingers in my ears. I was just sitting on the bed with him, my fingers in my ears, and he's like, all right, I'm going to try. Like, he was pointing it toward the wall, but he's still going to try. And I was like, all right, well, let me plug my ears then if you're going to try.
See, now that's real life. In a movie, you would have gone in there to talk him down, and while the gun is pointed at you, you would have said, add this to the growing list of things that happen in movies that have never happened in real life anywhere, is you going while a gun's pointed at you like, do it. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Do it already. Has anyone ever demanded that someone shoot them while the gun is actually pointed
at
them?
Not when you're getting $14 an hour. No.
Do it, Shaky Jake. Just do it. I'm right here.
Shaky.
Shaky Jake.
All right. So you got to get back to me on who needed more distance from their biological dad.
I'm going to work on that.
Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison's dad, Rear Admiral for the Navy.
I'm going to undertake a study, and I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to mine history and see if I can find any other sons who deviated wildly from their father.
Because Jim Morrison was like, "My dad's dead," and Bob Marley was like, "Oh, my dad died in a malt liquor explosion."
Jim Morrison's father, commander of the Navy during the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah. He was commander of the Navy during Vietnam, and his son was like singing protest songs against Vietnam. His dad was commander of the Navy during Vietnam.
Wow, that is crazy. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be. This isn't going to be work for me. It's going to be fun research. All right, listen. We've done a lot of hot sports talk this week for you. I think we can all agree on that. We'll be back with more of it for you next week. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Come out and see the Ace Man in Denver. Adam Carolla is unprepared at Comedy Works South in Denver. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And stay close for AP News.